SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races.
I guess everybody's taken by the chipper version of Steve Aspiset. How about the Ackerley tidbit? I'm sure if anybody thought about it, they both valid expectations and Jersey Girl, but I hadn't made that connection that. Both provided Pletcher and Asmussen with their first stakes winners. Crazy. We're reaching for Graham Motion, who asked me to push him back as late as possible, and so we said 11:15. He said great, and then now Casey having trouble reaching him. While we wait, I can slip in a few more of those weekend results. I told you about Soifette, and it's just a wonderful that story is terrific. And later in the week, we'll get a hold of Leonard Powell because it's too nice. And I don't know if you saw the picture that I circulated. Steve Anderson took from the Racing Forum, I guess last month, of Powell's daughter Jean on the shank walking Soifette. If she's 8 or 9. So you get an idea of what kind of a horse he is around the barn, and unbelievable. And this win moves him to 955,000 in earnings, does Soifette. And, you know, his turf record, only his second win on turf in 14 tries. The other 12 wins on the main track and synthetic tracks. So what a wonderful horse. How many times have we all over the years have any of us bet a multi-race sequence with Soifette in it? Pick six carryovers and God knows what. So really cool. How about the win in the Arlington Matron, Princess La Quinta, Carlos Marquez aboard for Jim Gullick. And this is a win for Gullick, and Al Moorhouse went off as third choice and was a handy winner in here. And I see that Brendan Walsh had taken apology not accepted out of the field, but Princess La Quinta, two in a row, and that's her first stake win and her first placement in a stake. She's a quality road filly that was bred by the Mulholland's and Pegasus Stud, and was only a $6,500 weanling at Keeneland November. How about that? And she continues to improve. Actually, she's moving up the scale. And Gullick's off to a tremendous start at the Arlington meet. He came in 3-for-4. How about that? Really nice. So that was at Arlington. And, of course, in New York, where they were dealing with the same wet weather, Nootka Sound. We'll have to get to Wesley. Wesley Ward with his own Hat Creek Lonro filly, bred by Katie Rich. And Nootka, who was one of the runners at last year at Ascot in the Windsor Castle, now has come back with two wins so far as a three-year-old this year. Nootka Sound, a winner by increasing what ended up four lengths under Dylan Davis in the Soaring Softly, and at Woodbine in the Celine. Miss Momentum by a neck, and this for Mark Cassie and Gary Barber. A weekend doesn't go by without Cassie and Barbara winning a stake somewhere. And here's Graham Motion, and I'm sure. Late breakfast at Cracker Barrel?
I didn't make it this weekend, Steve.
Well, for his appearance
I don't have a good local Cracker Barrel. That's my trouble.
There are no good local Cracker Barrels. There's only good local Waffle Houses. my biggest question is, should anybody be taking culinary advice from an Englishman?
That's a good point. but I do miss my pub food.
We're, of course, referencing the fun that we had with Graham over his expression of preference for Cracker Barrel to Waffle House. And we Waffle House faithful took great offense. Although, I suppose if you were taking Mrs. De Tomaso out for breakfast, Cracker Barrel probably is the better choice.
Probably wouldn't take it at Cracker Barrel.
You'd keep looking. There'd be other considerations. Let's talk about Irish War Cry. And Graham, between being worried about the inside of that racetrack, which when it's wet at Pimlico, the inside can be dull, between that and the pace pressure, it felt like it was a difficult assignment for Irish War Cry on Friday, but he ended up taking control and dictating terms. Congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. It was a big thrill. It was a big relief to me to, you know, get him out there to show everyone what I know he's capable of doing.
Talk about the winter and placement, you know, how you envisioned the year starting. It looked certainly like he came out okay to begin the year. And what was the plan starting in January?
Well, I mean, I was ecstatic with how he was training in Florida. I mean, I don't think I made any bones about it. I was so encouraged with how he was doing. I mean, he's always been a good workhorse, but I just thought he was exceptional this winter. I thought he ran respectably in his first start back. Obviously, I was probably a little disappointed. And then his second race back was a disaster, and that's when we found out that he had this case of the thumps, which is a condition when it's like an electrolytes imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
It's something he had done before in the Fountain of Youth when he ran so poorly, but I should have paid more attention to it at the time. It's not a condition I'm really familiar with. It's something we do deal with occasionally. And I honestly don't think I realized how debilitating it can be to a horse. But I certainly realized it that day after talking it over with my vets and seeing how he ran and seeing how he was after the race. I think it's kind of a frightening condition to the horses. It's when their diaphragm gets upset with their heartbeat, and they really have a hard time catching a breath. And I think that explains why he ran so poorly at Gulfstream last time.
Out of curiosity, do we attribute even going back to Fountain of Youth? Do we think that
I feel very confident that's what happened. Yeah.
How about
that? It's not something that's always very obvious to the eye unless you're really looking for it. But yes, I feel pretty strongly that that's what's happened on more than one occasion, especially those two occasions.
He's not a non-sweater, though, is he?
No, he's not. But this is very different from that. You know, it's when you add the Lasix and the hot weather. I think, you know, talking to my vet, they see it a lot more in Florida than they do up here. You know, and I think it's something that just puts them off a little bit. It's frightening to the horse at the time, and it's something that you can't run with. When you can't breathe properly, obviously you can't run, like any athlete. So,
well, he ran, and every time somebody, you know, kind of loomed up, let out another notch, and and just kept going. And Jose Ortiz, who is very good, of course, in any circumstance, but particularly on the front end, terrific at metting out speed. And this is a very encouraging result. And what does it set you up for looking ahead?
I think the Stephen Foster. I mean, I think it makes sense. It's a month away. It's at Churchill, where the Breeders' Cup is later in the year. Hopefully we might get a cool night. It's night racing. There's a lot of good reasons to go there, and it's a grade one, and he needs to win a grade one.
And I was going to ask, I mean, the grade one portion of the equation. And, you know, one other thing that came up in this, you know, he had only experienced a wet racetrack in the Derby last year. And seeing him get over, you know, this sealed wet racetrack, that has to be encouraging too. Something else you know now that isn't a problem.
Yeah, I never thought that was an issue. I never felt that was attributed to his poor performance in the Derby. He's always handled it well in the morning. You know, I give Jose a lot of credit. The horse, we were pretty concerned about the pace scenario. We thought Todd's horse would end up on the lead, and we weren't going to commit to going to the lead. But when he kind of broke fairly sharply, he wasn't going to take anything away from him. And I must say, I felt very confident all through this race, because knowing how good this horse is, I felt very good about how he was going. I could see how easily he was going. And when they went a half and 47 and change, I felt like we would be very tough to beat.
And that's exactly how it proved out. So the Foster next, and great to get a historic stake win, and plenty yet to come for Irish War Cry, and delighted for Mrs. De Tomaso and Ellie and the whole team. Graham, let's talk about Saturday. And of course, the races came off the turf, and so we'll keep an eye on Just Howard for down the road, because he felt pretty clever to use in the Dixie. So we'll see what's moving forward there. The turf course condition for Ultra Brat, and she was ultra impressive.
Yeah, I mean, obviously none of us knew how the horses were going to handle that day. Those were really extreme turf conditions, probably the likes of which we'll never run on again in this country, you know. Having said that, it was, you know, we were on a path that was protected. They hadn't even used that path, I believe. So, look, again, a great ride from Jose, and just she's a very nice mare, this mare. I mean, she's been knocking on the door all winter. I didn't think she had the best trip, to be honest, in the Jenny Wiley. And she really bounced back and beat some nice fillies under adverse conditions on Saturday.
What what does it mean for her, and what where do we look for her next?
Look, she's won a couple of Group 3s, and I said to Mr. Campbell, you know, how great it would be to get her a Grade 1 win or a Grade 1 placing, which was why we went to Keeneland. So I think you've got to think about a race like the Diana.
Excellent. Excellent. And I mean, how much of the performance, I mean, for her to swamp this field in terms of the footing, what did Jose say when he came back?
You know, he said she was tired, but they were all tired. I mean,
sure.
I don't think people quite appreciate how tired the horses get on that kind of soft ground. It's more like a European tired, how they come back from steeplechase races. You know, they're just legless when they have to run on that tiring ground. We don't see that over here the same. But, you know, he was very complimentary about her, and obviously we were all really pleased.
Well, nothing wrong with coming out of that weekend with the wins in the Gallarette and the Pimlico Special. Graham, looking ahead to New York, some thoughts about how you're positioned?
Coming up, I mean, Belmont weekend, I really hope to run Spring Quality back in the Manhattan. That was my plan. You know, we ran second to Chad's horse the other day. He came out of that race really well. So we won a maiden race with Rugby Man at Belmont the other day. I thought he was really impressive, a Tappet colt, and there's a chance he could come back in the mile and 16th race on Belmont Day. So we've got some things to look forward to, certainly.
You also ran second and third in the Hilltop, Secret Message and Peach of a Gal.
Yeah, and, you know, it's quite possible they could come back in the stakes in New York, or The Way I Am, who we scratched, could show up. We also have Lady Alexandra. She could come back in the Intercontinental. She won her first start for us, so she could come back Belmont Week in the Intercontinental. And Untamed Domain, we're just going to point him for the Belmont, I think they call it the Belmont Derby in July,
yes,
off his second place at Churchill.
Excellent. And everybody came back okay? No.
Seemed good. A little tired, but good. I mean, Irish War Cry is really, I didn't feel like that race took that much out of him, actually.
Well, knock on wood, the weekend, you had to be given that much rain, 7 inches of rain, and I can imagine what it's like at Fair Hill too. How do the facilities there take that kind of weather?
You know, I probably breathed 25 horses on Saturday morning on the all weather. It's actually better when it rains that much. I will say, you know, credit to Pimlico, the track was in remarkable condition for how much rain they had. I couldn't believe when I walked out on it after Irish War Cry's race how well it held up, and likewise on Saturday. It was in really good shape for how much rain we had.
Well, for everybody, it's a stressful circumstance, and it is amazing the way the track, you know, considering what fell.
You're exactly right. I mean, it is stressful for everybody, whether it's the trainers, the management, you know, we're all taken out of our comfort zone, and it makes for very stressful racing, but everyone handled it very well, and it was a great weekend, and what a great Preakness.
What did you think? There's some people interpreting that have a strange interpretation of Justify's effort.
I wouldn't want to knock him off that. I'd like to train him.
Well, we're going to hear from Baffert next, but I'll ask you about one more winner that may have gone.
How about Baffert? I mean, how can you come back five times and win the Preakness when you've won the Derby? I mean, having run in the Preakness after winning the Derby, I know how hard that is. I mean, that is incredible. What an amazing accomplishment.
He also ties, you know, this has obviously been a historic Triple Crown season already between the invocation of Apollo and Baffert tying, you know, R.W. Walden from the 1880s with the seven wins. I mean, it
was only
amazing.
3 or 4 years ago everyone was saying we needed to change the Triple Crown because it
That's
was
right.
getting too difficult to do, right?
Exactly. Tell me about, before we go, tell me about Rugby Man and what kind of horse this is.
I mean, I was super impressed with him. He really did it the right way. You know, he's a colt we obviously liked, but we would never have taken him to Keeneland first time out. So, I'm excited about them and him, and to, you know, train for the Wertheimers. They've been very loyal to me the last few years. So I'm super excited that we could have a nice colt for them. Find out where Baffert's going to run his horse, though. Ran in the
Axeman.
That's what I need to know. Can you let me know that?
Well, I said to him yesterday about Axeman. I said, where are you going with him? And he said, somewhere Justify is it. I'm keeping him away, keeping the two separated. So that's trouble
pump him
for
up
everybody.
So he points him for a big race and stays away from the Belmont undercard.
Are you thinking about the Easy Goer for him?
I think it's possible, yes.
Yeah.
But not if the Axeman shows up.
Well, for those that didn't see Rugby Man's performance, you know, this came last Sunday, I think. Yeah,
that's right.
13th, the 13th, and he wins by a dozen lengths, and couldn't have looked better doing it. He's a tappet out of the nice mare Zaftig, so there's something there too, Graham, and I'm glad we got a chance to fold him in. Well done for joining us today on At the Races. Graham receives a Waffle House gift card.
That's tremendous.
It is on its way.
I'll wait so we can share it, Steve.
Excellent. Because I want to teach you how to order at Waffle. We're gonna make you a convert.
Sounds good.
I ran well done this weekend. Talk soon.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I love it. Grand motion, everybody. And we'll, Case, you want to take a break here and come back with Baffert? Do that? Or do we have Baffert standing by? He's got Bob Baffert standing by, so we will stay right here, and he'll join us momentarily. Yeah, we got to get Grand Motion on the we got to get Grand Motion on the right page when it comes to Waffle House. Bob Baffert joins us, and Bob, you got Axeman has got Grand Motion running scared. Graham's got a nice horse named Rugby Man, and he wants to know if you're running in the easy goer with Axeman.
Axeman, I'm not sure. You know what? He was, he ran a tough race. He got a little bit. He didn't ship all that well, and then he was acting up a little bit. He got a little bit restless in the pack, but he still, he finally relaxed when he got out to the track. He didn't. His first road trip, he was a little bit anxious, but he's a really good horse. I mean, he's a horse that we've always been very high on. So I'm just sort of, haven't really made up my mind what I'm going to do. I sent him back to Kentucky, so I'm just going to keep him there and just play it by ear.
Well, and of course, he's a colt by Misremembered, and the sibling power, Indian Blessing, and she was great on the wet track, and he was great winning.
He would be a half to Indian Blessing. He's out of that mare. Yeah. Shameful,
right?
Who's just thrown nothing but winners. She's a tremendous mare. We bred her to tap it this year.
Wow. Well, if she's getting Axeman with Misremembered, what is she going to get with Tappet?
I don't know. Misremembered, he's pretty. He could be the up and coming. Nobody gave him a chance. Now he's in California, so you can get a really good deal now.
Have people call you? You'll negotiate for him and
just,
get him.
Just bring him. Just
bring your mare. Back the mare up. Well, you hit the double on Saturday, and you were live in the double into the Preakness. Justify under tough circumstances, and then challenged immediately, Bob. Tell us what you saw, what you could see, and your thoughts.
Well, I mean, we felt pretty good going in there, but the track, I was hoping it would just keep raining because more water in the track, it stays faster and tighter. But then it quit raining and it started getting a little humid and the track started getting a little sticky. You could tell it was starting to, get a little gooey and slippery. So, but you had to be on the outsides. But, once he got away from the gate, when he broke well, then I knew, we're good shape there. And so Mike was, somebody wanted to go, he'd rather just hit off of somebody, because that horse, when he makes a lead, he gets a little bit, he's still a little green. And so he broke, and we thought Quip was going to be on the lead, but then Good Magic was there, so he was in a good spot. He felt, we figured that Good Magic, might take it to him. So but he was in a good spot around there, and then down the backside, he was just away from him, just laying off of him. But then he said at about the 4.5, Ortiz just kept going further out and further out, and he could see he was really gonna spread him really wide coming to that far turn, and he didn't want to be like so far. So they actually, both of them moved probably at the half mile pole together, and then it was on, So, I don't blame them for those tactics. They went in there, they were trying to win. They didn't go in there to sit off of them and run second. So I don't blame him for that. I think at the end there, once he made the lead there, he was a little bit lost down there. But, when he hit the wire, when he, looked like they were coming there, I was like, I was excited to win the race. And I thought, I wonder if the horse has bottomed out. Maybe, he's not, we're all expecting him to just run away from the field like Pharaoh. And then once I got down there and I talked to Mike, I felt better, because I didn't know what was going on, because I couldn't see him what was going on, you know. And he was telling me, oh man, he was jumping tracks all the way around there. He told me, he's still he's a little green, you know. So like San Diego Derby, he saw a tent and he, you know, ducked to the outside there early in the race. So but you know, this horse, he needed something like that to, you know, he needed, you know, he'd never been tested like that. And, you know, he got tested by a Breeders' Cup champion and 2-year-old champion, and he handled it well. And, so, you know, you couldn't ask for anything else. I mean, you know, a win's a win. You know, it wasn't like the, you know, we're all, you know, we're American Pharoah. We were watching him win. It was almost like Pharoah's Derby win. I kept waiting for him, like, all right, come on, do your thing, you know. You know, but, you know, they can't bring it all every time, you know. And I thought, you know, after everything, you know, I never got, once I saw the replays and everything like that, it was another top performance by a horse that has run 5 times, like, just back to back to back. So, you know, it takes a really special horse to do that. Anybody that's trained horses, it's tough. They haven't been easy, and he's been running against top competition. And these are really good horses. And so I'm just, you know, we're just so proud of them. And I'm proud of everybody in my team, you know, from the Gallup boys to Jimmy and the groom. And that's the first time the groom, Lalo, he's also the groom for Arrogate and Pharoah, he came up to me. He was so excited. He actually, usually he'll go to the right, wait for his horse. He came up to me and he couldn't wait to hug me. And he was just, I mean, here's a guy that's had all these great horses, but this one meant a lot. You know, it was like, cause he had a fight. He had a fight for it. You know, I knew they weren't going to give it to him. So, it was, unfortunately, we couldn't see a lot of the race, but it turned out to be a really exciting, race.
Very much so. And I'm glad you referenced the way people seem to be, some people seem to be viewing it, and referencing what he's accomplished in this burst of time. And it's just unprecedented, and I'm surprised that more people aren't acknowledging that, Bob. No horse has ever done what he's done to this point.
Well, you know what? I've been really fortunate to train some really top horses. And this guy, he's up there. I mean, he's got the talent of the Pharoah. He's got the, like, Arrogate. Those, they're just really, you know, they just have something extra. They give you that extra. And, you know, you know, I didn't do much with him all week. I needed him. This was the one he had to win on his own, because I really couldn't do much with him. And and then he does that. I mean, that was all. That wasn't Bob Baffert training. That was a great horse winning the race. I mean, he got him and Mike. They got there because they're just, you know, they're just, he's a, just a classy, and a really great athlete. You know, it takes something special like that. You know, they just, you know, it's not going to be easy. Like I said, you know, hey, Alabama, they won some really close games. You know, they should have. It's tough every time, you know. But I think now, you know, we'll just, now he's and he came out of the race, I mean, really, really well. And I was really happy yesterday. He was like, you know, he came out, his foot was fine, no problems there, no issues there. Everything looked good. He shipped back to Kentucky. I talked to Jimmy. He says, man, he's just eaten up. He feels good. You can tell. You know, he got a hard race, and he needed that. He was blowing pretty good, but he recovered right away. So, you know, he's still, you know, it's still 3 weeks, and he's got to go up there and do it. But I just, you know, he's, you know, I'm just, you know, we're counting on his, you know, all you can do is like Pharoah. I just count on his greatness. If you're great, you're going to get it done. You know, if you're tired, you're not going to get it done. You know, we've seen so many horses go up there that were really good horses that, you know, they just got tired. You know, they finally get tired, and they, that it finally catches up to them. But I'm just, you know, I'm just count my blessings and hope that, you know, we just keep him going as long as he stays like this. And it should be a great race.
Before we talk about Belmont and what you'll do with him in terms of preparations and how you may adjust, let's reflect on what is the historic portion for you personally in terms of the R.W. Walden going back to the 1880s, wins in the Preakness, tying Dwayne Lucas for Triple Crown wins.
You know, I hate to hear all that stuff. Cause I really, to me, it's like, you know, it's opinions die, facts live forever. Those were different days. I'm just so thankful, Steve, that I'm in this position. And I was thankful that they sent me this horse. And so I don't think of all those records and all that, because to me, it's more about, it's the moment. You know, we live from one big horse to another. And, you know, to have a horse like American Pharoah, I mean, going into this Triple Crown, it's like, it's a different feeling with Pharoah. It was like, you know, I still hadn't got it done yet. So it was still, I knew, you know what, I've seen so many good horses go in there and you get beat. So I know it's tough. It's really tough. It's going to be tough, you know, justify. It's tough for all of them. But, you know, it's my job to just focus on, I'm not focusing on any record. I'm focusing on justify, making sure that I give him a chance that he's, to run his race and to, you know, to get it done. And the thing about him is that he's not one-dimensional. You know, he'd rather just sit off a horse a little bit than him, because he gets out there by himself. He's not one that, you know, he wants some competition. So, because I could tell when they came to him, they never got by him. Mike said when he was galloping out, the minute he felt those horses, he just kicks back on again. That's the way he works in the morning. And so it's so important that we have a horse going for the Triple Crown. It just, everybody's, I even got a text from Ice Cube, who I met on the plane, wasn't even at the Derby, and he congratulated me. You know, so, I mean, it's just, a lot of people have really tuned into this horse, this, you know, and it's just great for racing. And I think that that's one thing about it. When you go to, you know, it's all about one horse, and it's going to be exciting. But right now, we just, like I said, we just want to get him, you know, focus on getting him there and make sure he's 100%. You know, I don't want to take him up there unless I know he's 100% and doing really well. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to come quick. But, you know, today everything looks really positive. And so we're just, but it's day to day. This stuff is always day to day with these horses.
You know, one of the things that with the recent Triple Crown preparations between American Pharoah and the year before, you know, watching Art Sherman and Alan with California Chrome, making sure that you do enough. What is your approach on that front from all the, you know, all the various times you've been in this position, and the one, you know, the one particular circumstance with American Pharoah that broke the long drought?
Well, I think, Steve, all my horses that ran it, they all fired. You know, they all ran their race. They just got beat. I mean, War Emblem's the only one. He stumbled badly, so he didn't have a chance. He was one-dimensional. He's the only one that I took up there that he was a very light horse. He didn't handle, you know, it was getting to him. But this horse, he's a big, strong animal. He eats well, and, you know, he hasn't lost any weight, and he looked really, really great after the race. But I just gut feeling. I just go by how they're doing, and, you know, I just change it up. I don't really have a schedule for him when he's going to work or when he's going to go out to the track. We just go day to day, and I watch him closely for the first week, just watching closely, because it takes about a week till you realize, you know, how it's starting to affect him. So I just watch that really closely, and I'll just go in there and see it next week, and and decide, you know, what we'll do with him. But, you know, we've been through this before. You know, Jimmy's there with him, and no better eyes and ears than Jimmy, and he knows. So we're, you know, we've been through it. We've been fortunate to have been through it. So it's like, you know, we've got, like, going through the Super Bowl. When you've been there a few times, you know how you prepare for it, you know, but stay focused. Don't get caught up in all the hype and the media. And, you know, when he won the Derby, they'd already crowned him Triple Crown. And then when he barely wins, well, forget that, you know, throw him out. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, we just expect so much from these horses. And I could see them saying, you know, I could see that when he hit the wire, I thought, well, we won it, but maybe he's bottomed out. Maybe, like, okay, this is it. And, man, I'm giving you all I got. But after seeing him the next day and then the way he cooled out, you know, recovered really quickly, I felt a lot better about it.
Well, certainly everybody will be looking forward to this, as always. I do have, over and above, Bob, the obvious from the weekend with the Preakness win and the Sir Barton. Some people are asking about some other horses. Abel Tasman, you know, coming out of the effort in Kentucky, and they've also got a question, people wondering about West Coast status.
Yeah, West Coast, we backed off of him. He was, I just wanted to back off and you know, just take it easy with him, because I don't want to, we want him ready for the fall. I mean, I just want to make sure he recovers from that. He, you know, he ran hard those two races. So, and then the Abel Tasman, she had, you know what, she just ran a sort of a flat race there in Churchill, and she's come back. As a matter of fact, I just worked her today, and she is really, she's back. She's back on. So she's going to run in New York in the FIPS on Belmont Day. That's where she's running next.
Excellent. And how many others do you expect to bring to New York in 3 weeks?
I don't know. I'm trying to, I'm just figuring that out right now. I don't think I'll have anything in the three-year-old. I'm not sure about that one yet, you know, we're trying to, I'm right now, I'm still sorting out things, you know, working horses and trying to figure out some moves there, but we're going to nominate a lot of horses. Just whoever's doing great that week, they get on the plane.
Exactly.
We've got an opportunity. He's going to run in that mile and a half.
In the Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn, yeah. He likes that.
Excellent. And McKenzie, any progress?
Yeah, she's just tack walking right now. We still haven't gotten on track with him. We're just still giving them plenty of time, and so.
Well, obviously a special Saturday, and considering the conditions, Bob, and everything that was going on, it seems like a very fun Preakness edition. Saw you earlier in the day, and atmosphere, you know, it wasn't the day that anybody would have picked, but everybody left smiling from what I could see.
All right, well, I got to get back to work here. Well, thanks for having me, Steve.
Bob, always terrific, right. And special when we get a chance to recap after something like this, a dual classic win for a horse that is just defying logic for all intents and purposes. We'll stay here just a couple of minutes to wrap up, and as we do that, you know, plenty of thank yous from the week, and you know, we'll do more tomorrow with some more connection sets, including Joe Orsino. I want to get to, because he's obviously got something nice going with Imprimis, and we will talk to Andy as well. And in fact, I also want to reach out to Naira and get some specifics about where things stand for people that want to make plans for coming to Belmont for the festival, the racing festival, which starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the Fridays become, you know, very much a great day of racing. And we'll get all the specifics, what is available and what your options are, then in terms of, you know, holding the, you know, holding the attendance in terms of a set number. 90,000 has been the, you know, some people think they probably could accommodate a few more, but we'll find out from, we'll get a hold of Pat and see what Pat McKenna can tell us about this latest Triple Crown try. Just amazing when you think about it, too. You look at the, and think about the way the, I think the impression of it has changed with American Pharoah's sweep. You know, after so many disappointments, you know, including, I suppose, California Chrome particularly, you know, who looked, and Smarty Jones. I mean, those were the two in recent, you know, of the most recent tries that really felt like horses that were you know, you said to yourself, they're going to do it. I mean, I certainly was in that, you know, was in that frame of mind. Funny Side was up against it with a healthy, sound Empire Maker waiting. That one, you know, and then that was a day. Boy, if you think Derby Day was nasty, or the Preakness circumstance Saturday was unpleasant, you should have been at Belmont in 2003. It was unbelievable. Freezing cold and pouring rain. That was just a mind-boggling June day. Shocking, really, how rough it was. Triple Crown try. You can't beat it for drama, right? How do you beat this? And I, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of glad that there's that he can't win mentality. And you could just I think you, those of you that saw any clips from Baffert yesterday, and you can hear it in his voice too, that he said once he got to see the horse after and then yesterday morning. And the report from Jimmy this morning. You'll be able to gauge. We'll be able to gauge how he's doing. We'll look forward to the list too. We'll get the latest. But and there is a storyline, obviously the audible question as to whether, you know, the ownership team will run him or not. But we do know that we can expect, among others, well, Vino Rosso, right, is still intended. Blended Citizen, Instilled Regard. Hofburg, probably, right? Hofburg figures to be the type that could be tough in there, too. So, a lot more to do tomorrow. And if you missed anything, 6 to 9 replay in the morning here on SiriusXM or the website, stevepick.com, archive and podcast. I want to thank Steve Aspison, Bob Baffert, Graham Motion, Johnny D, Kellen Gorder. If you're going to play today, and you can, there's horse racing, and the money's going to spend just as well. Finger Lakes, Louisiana Downs, Mountaineer, Parks, Presque Isle, Sunray and Thistledown, and more. I don't really think that's everything. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.